Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Labor Department today cuts the unemployment rate and says it is at its highest level in 15 years, as U.S. companies cut jobs at the fastest rate in more than 30 years. Non-farm payrolls plunged a larger-than-expected 533,000 jobs in November to 6.7%, compared with 6.5% in October. The economy has lost more than 1.2 million jobs in the last 3 months alone, following revisions to September and October that showed even steeper job cuts than first reported. The pullback is broad-based, including manufacturing, construction, and most service industries. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 8,242 is down 133 points. The NASDAQ 1423 is off 22. The S&P 500, 830.84, is down 14.38 points.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Basedifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Are you on the go and want to know how the commodity markets opened or closed? AM 580 Agriculture has a solution with our new Market Analyst Portal. Dial 217-333-3434 to get prices and commodity analysis from the opening and closing bells. We update the billboard twice a day at 10:15 a.m. and 3:15 p.m., giving you market analysis to make smart decisions. Get on the map. The number to call is 217-333-3434. Joining us now with a look at the weekend's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. We have some complications in the Corn Belt weather forecast for the coming week. For the next few days, the forecast is rather easy to articulate. It's just going to be messy for a few spots as a clipper system will come through and produce some snow from Minnesota into Wisconsin and Michigan. That'll be entering Minnesota and the eastern Dakotas this afternoon, and then into Wisconsin and Michigan tonight into tomorrow morning. And south of there into parts of Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, there will be some light snow as well. For eastern Illinois, it appears the best chance of snow will be coming from after midnight tonight and before noon tomorrow. Points west of here will get the snow a little earlier. Points to the east will get it a little later than that time frame. And we're looking at only about an inch of snow in central Illinois. There could be 2 to 3 inches up by the Wisconsin border and the Michigan border, and some places getting 3 or 4 inch amounts in Wisconsin and Michigan. Behind that system, we're going to have another brief blast of cold air. Today will be a cold day. We'll have another blast of cold air coming in tomorrow night into Sunday. But Sunday will be a dry day. Then warmer air will try to get in, so some light snow showers will start to develop in the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt on Sunday and spread eastward across the rest of the northern Corn Belt Sunday night into Monday, while southern areas initially stay quiet. Now, probably the biggest question mark we have is what the weather is going to do after that. Each computer model we look at has a different solution for Monday night into Tuesday and Wednesday. They all develop a storm system that's expected to come up through the mid-Mississippi Valley and will produce probably some significant to heavy precipitation from the Mississippi Delta into the Tennessee Valley and parts of the Ohio Valley. The big question is how far northwest the precipitation shield will come and where the rain snow line will be. And we don't know the details on that yet, but that's something that will affect our weather around Monday night into Tuesday of next week. It appears that we will turn colder after that. The cold air may come in a few waves, so it may not just suddenly drop to the coldest air of the season, but Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday next week are still looking unseasonably cold. But some of the longer-range models we're looking at indicate much warmer air to follow in the week that follows. So we're going to turn significantly colder later next week, but then we could turn much warmer the week after that. Taking a look at the southern hemisphere now, of course, we want to zero in on Argentina and Brazil, and there's no real change in what we've been talking about the last few days. We're looking at generally dry conditions across Argentina and Brazil, and there may be a few showers and thunderstorms developing in some spots next week, but right now the trend is toward dry weather, and we're also going to see hotter weather starting to move into Argentina and southern and western Brazil this weekend. So drying rates are going to increase. So after a few showers in Argentina this week, they go back to their very dry weather pattern, and that's of great concern. Southern Brazil has also been extremely dry lately, especially portions of Rio Grande do Sul. So that's another area of great concern. Probably the area, the crop areas that are in best shape right now are portions of Mato Grosso, Minas Gerais, Goiás, and Bahia. But even there, the showers are starting to shift northward and will shift out of those areas, so they may turn a bit drier, but less concern is in the offing there. Now, in the week that follows next week, there's a little bit better chance that some showers and thunderstorms may move into Argentina, but we're still concerned about dryness, and we'll be monitoring that, of course, next week. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, March wheat in Kansas City opened at 513 unchanged, last trade down one. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 468 and a quarter, up a half. Last trade down 3 1/2. March, 488 and a quarter, up a quarter. Last trade down 1 3/4. July, 509, down 3 1/4. Last trade down 3/4. December corn opened at 317 and a half, down 3/4. Last trade down 4 3/4. March, 333 and a quarter, down 3/4. Last trade down 4 1/2. July, 355, down 1/4. Last trade down 5 3/4. December of next year, 378 3/4, down 1/2, last trade down 1/2. January beans open at 811 unchanged, down 5 1/4. March, 813, down 2 1/2, last trade down 4 3/4. July, 832 1/2, down 1/2, last trade down 5 1/4. November of 2009, 833, down 2, last trade down 3 1/4. December soybean meal opened at 244.80, down 250. Last trade down 330. December soybean oil opened at 28.97, down 25. Last trade down 38. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Dave. How are you this morning?
I am doing well. It's a very pretty day, although quite cool.
Yeah. I would have to say cold, not cool.
And as cold as it is, I just find it hard to believe that crude oil could fall to $25 a barrel, as Merrill Lynch was talking about yesterday.
Well, I do too. I do too. But, you know, that's like any other analyst situation that we look at. I mean, you know, you look at the you look at the charts, you look at all of that, and you're going to have somebody who's going to come out and say something like that. But I'd be surprised. I mean, you know, what are we going to get back to 98 cents for gas? I mean, you know, I don't think it's too realistic.
On the other hand, off of that $25 bid, corn, beans, and wheat all took a little tumble after that came out.
Well, true, but I'm not so certain that they were that much affected by that. I think a lot more had to do with the concerns over what the jobless numbers are going to be, you know, and all of those types of things. You know, it's like what we've seen the market doing a lot, anticipating, you know, and if that's why sometimes when the numbers actually come out, we don't see the reaction that you normally would expect.
So 6.7% jobless rate equates with yesterday's tumble, or is there some more work to the downside to be done here?
Well, I think the market itself will probably start out lower, just like we were overnight last night, and then at the same time, we'll see some pickup as we get toward the end. They built a lot of numbers in. Not a big surprise on these numbers. I mean, I think that the biggest thing will be whether there's any movement or toward bailing out the big three. I still think that's the key to everything at this point in time, is whether or not there's going to be something done for them.
What is the working number for ending stocks that USDA, the traders are using compared to USDA, is what they're 1.1 or 1.2 in corn?
Well, I think the traders are probably looking more at a 1.2 or 1.3 level. I'm not so certain that that's going to be the case. You know, there's an awful lot of conjecture out there. You know, there's corn standing out in the field yet. We have clients all over Kansas, the Dakotas, Wisconsin, okay, everywhere else that, mm-hmm, that are telling us there's, okay, acres and acres and acres of corn still standing out.
Okay.
And so it's hard to judge. I think the reality is that the numbers are going to be tighter probably when we get to the final end. But at this point in time, traders are so convinced that nobody's going to eat anymore and the world has come to a stop that they're going to inflate all the numbers.
All right, Jackie. Thanks much.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.